chosen people, we who have our identity secure in you. Move forward in obedience with your authority and kingdom power. And we can see all these things happening and know that for us, it means we're closer to heaven. Closer to the time when we will see you face to face. Close to when we will not only have to hear from you through your word, through your church, through your people, but Lord, we'll get to hear you and be in your very presence each and every minute for eternity. So Lord, may we, as we recognize and are silent before you, and as we hear the sounds of your day hastening quickly, Lord, may we not fall prey to fear, fall prey to depression, fall prey to discouragement. But Lord, may this be a call for us to stand and hear, to seek you, and to be obedient children of the King. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be silent. How many of you like silence? Few of you? How many of you are uneasy when there's complete silence? Me. Maybe why we have 11 children. Never have to worry about that. There was a time in my life where I just feared silence. That sounds weird to the people who like silence, right? How can you fear silence? It wasn't until the Lord got a hold of my life, especially my heart, that I started to have an appreciation for silence. When I started to enjoy silence. Because instead of silence being a void, which is what it felt like to me when I was going through that time where I was scared of silence, where if there was no silence, this is how I lived. I get up in the morning, first thing I do is turn on the radio. That was back when you actually had to listen to what was playing on the radio. Those old days, and you were happy for AM. It's hard for some of my children to understand. There was no iPods. There was no, you know, in the old days. Then I thought I made this huge leap when I had a cassette player. This is awesome, you know. But there was a time in my life where I was scared of silence. Because to me, it was empty. It was empty. And it was interesting when I just remember when it changed, when I was in Bible school and when the Lord got a hold of my life and I was baptized Holy Spirit, it really changed for me because silence became a time where I listened for God. Not a time where there was this void and it upset me, made me anxious, but it was a time like today where we're silent because we're in the very presence of the God of the universe who wants to speak to his people. And as he showed his prophets in the Old Testament, he was not the God of thunder. He was not the God of destruction, although he was. But when they saw him, when they heard him, it was a still small voice, remember? And it's interesting because God wants us to, as the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God, right? Zephaniah, who's a really minor prophet. How many of you would like to be known as a minor prophet? Yeah. Hey, at least we know him. A lot of people lived in those days. We don't remember them. But yeah, he's not a Jeremiah, even though he's a contemporary. He's not an Isaiah. He's not even a Job. He's Zephaniah. Zephaniah is an interesting character because Zephaniah is a great-great-grandson to King Hezekiah. Remember King Hezekiah? He was the king who brought about a transformation, who found the law and brought it back and was, you know, transformed the southern kingdom when the Assyrians took away the northern kingdom and took them into exile. They were saved. They were given a reprieve, and so they were allowed to remain the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah, Israel was a northern kingdom. It's not important. Look it up. That's what happens when you got... Well, Bethlehem was in the southern kingdom, but I was trying to remember the tribe. Benjamin. Yes. Thank you. Judah and Benjamin were the two tribes that remained faithful in the south around Jerusalem, and the northern tribes were taken away. And this is a time in 640 BC when Josiah was reigning, and we call Zephaniah, we call him the royal prophet because he had royal blood, right? He was a great-great-grandson to King Hezekiah. He's speaking at the time of Josiah. He's speaking when the Assyrian Empire, which was the superpower, is declining and the Babylonian Empire is ascending. Okay, this is a time in history. And he's speaking to his own people. He's speaking to his own people. He didn't get to go like Amos last week. We talked about Amos who got to go from the south up to the north. He got to go away. And what did Jesus say when he was trying to share in Nazareth? He said, a prophet is without honor in his own hometown. So just, you have to feel for Zephaniah because he's called to declare the truth, to declare the truth of judgment, to declare the truth that the day of the Lord is coming to his own people, to his own family, to Jerusalem, to Judah. And he's got a challenge, let me tell you. He's a minor prophet because he's only got three chapters, and he spends the majority of those chapters talking about judgment, warning the people that the time is coming when they will be taken away, when God, that's what he calls the day of the Lord is near. There's going to be a time where there will be destruction, where even he talks in this particular passage that we just heard, he talks about the king's sons and those in power, and he's speaking truth to power here. I know there's people in university like this. Speak truth to power. I hear this all the time. Don't you hear this when you, no, maybe not. Maybe it shows my age. This is a big thing when I was in university. Speak truth to power was the big thing. Well, they're speaking truth to power. He's got to tell these people who are in power that they need to be silent before the Lord God. And I want you to recognize something. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to take special note of the fact that you have something very unusual in this verse. Verse 7. Zephaniah, it's the third book back from the New Testament, okay? And it's a minor prophet, so if you flip too fast, you're going to miss it. That's why the poor guy's got a complex, because he's a minor prophet, okay? His name means Yahweh hides, and his challenge is to declare judgment is coming. But that's because judgment has to come first before the blessing of the Messiah, okay? So in verse 7 of chapter 1 there, can you put that up? Be silent before the Lord God. Now, I want you to notice something. There's two words here that both by themselves would be in that, for example, the second part, for the day of the Lord. You see how Lord is capitalized? Is near, the Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests, the day of the Lord. You see how they capitalize that? That's the name for God, okay? I want you to notice something. You have in this first verse, be silent before the Lord God. Have I ever told you about how Hebrew works? Hebrew is an interesting language because you don't have, if Jim was here, he'd be able to tell us because he's taking it right now at Concordia. When you have two words that are close together, it means something really important. And so you have two words that basically mean the same thing, Lord and God. And that means that when you're silent before the Lord God, you're silent before God, God. The God of gods. You can't imagine anything more powerful. anyone more powerful. Does that, you understand what I'm saying? So when you're silent, it's not because you can choose to be silent. It's you're silent because you're in front of, in the very presence of, in the midst of the Lord God. The top God, the master God, the Lord God, the God God. Just in case you're wondering if you needed to be silent and reverent in his presence, that's why these two words are right there. And I'm sure when people heard this, when Zephaniah is sharing this, they would have got that. We don't get that in the English because we often use words and we don't understand the significance of it. But I just want you to understand, he is saying to these people, he is saying to the princes and to the rulers in Jerusalem, he is saying, be silent before the God of gods. The King of the universe, be silent before the one who has brought everything to pass and will bring everything to pass. Be present and silent in his presence. I mean, this is something, isn't it? This is an attention getter. For the Lord, the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. Meaning he's prepared a sacrifice, which is the people of Israel, particularly the people of Judah right now, because Israel's gone into captivity, and consecrated his guests, which are the people who believe in God but yet are from other places. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. Josiah was a good king. You notice Josiah is not mentioned here? I thought that was significant. I just wanted to mention that. I will punish the officials, the king's sons, and all who array themselves in foreign attire, meaning those who are not doing what they're supposed to. Those are not obedient. They're not doing what God has commanded. They're going after foreign gods. That's what it means by foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. Basically, it's saying your money's not going to save you. That's a fancy way or a nice way of saying it ain't going to, doesn't matter how wealthy you are, it ain't going to help you. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps. Again, remember the imagery here. It means I'm going to look for the people who are righteous. I'm going to seek them. This is the way of God saying, I'm going to seek them. And I will punish the men who are what? Complacent. Now, the reason I picked this text is because this is, as we count down the last three Sundays of the church year, it's all about judgment, right? It's depressing. You say, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then you say, this is the gospel of the Lord. And you're going, no. Because they picked it years and years and years ago. And it's what the church uses on the second last Sunday of the church year. And then they give us Zephaniah, which ends with judgment. And you kind of go, Lord, this is a time when people could get depressed. But then you say, as I did, well, we should talk about Amos. We should talk about Zephaniah. We should see that the Lord used them and that there's gospel even in the midst of judgment. There's law and there's gospel all the way through. There's covenant and kingdom all the way through Scripture. And so when I saw this, I was like, okay, is this not for us? And I will punish the men who are complacent. Would you say there's people who are complacent today? Yeah. Those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. What is that basically saying? Yeah, God is dead, basically. Right? Isn't that what he said? Have you heard that lately? Yeah. Yeah. It's a good movie. But have you not heard that people out in society who are complacent, people who think that God is not going to do any good, nor will he do ill? He's just insignificant. He's irrelevant. Do you see why it isn't that much different from 640 BC to now? Not much has changed, right? Let's keep going. For their goods shall be plundered and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near and hastening fast. And here's why our brothers and sisters from past generations put this text in for the second last Sunday of the church year. Because the desire of the church historically has been, as we close off this year and we get into Advent, which is the beginning of the next church year, as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday next week, the idea is that we should recognize that there's a sense of urgency, right? Isn't that what it's saying? The great day of the Lord. Now, what was he saying before? The day of the Lord. Now, what does he call it? The great day of the Lord. That's the final judgment, folks. That's what we're waiting for. The white throne judgment. We're waiting for the judgment day because we know that judgment day is coming, and for us, it's going to be good, but for those who are still complacent, those who are still trying to pay their way out of this, those who think God will do neither good nor ill, what about them? That's why this is here, because verse 14 says, the great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. What did he say in verse 7 again? Be silent. Be silent. Why? Because if there's too much noise, are you going to recognize what he says next? The sound of the day of the Lord is what? Bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. He's telling us if we're silent and we're listening, we're going to see the signs. We're going to hear the things that are happening. We're going to be awake to the truth that the Lord's day, or the great day of the Lord, is near, near and hastening fast. And I'll just tell you a secret, okay? I don't want you to leave without saying, Pastor Brian said something I could take home. The day of the Lord is hastening fast for all of us, isn't it? Whether the Lord returns and we get to see him come in his glory, which I would love because I want to see that trumpet. That's just kind of a desire I have. But either way, I'm going to meet the Lord. I almost met the Lord 4 years ago. It's a kind of an interesting thing, you know, Lord healed me, but you know, we're all going to meet the Lord, so let's be ready. And then finally, let's keep going. The day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cries against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. I will bring distress on mankind so that they shall walk like the blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust and their flesh like dung. Wow, isn't that a picture? Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed, for a full and sudden end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Doesn't that sound gloomy? Doesn't that sound depressing? That's why a lot of pastors just want to get through this last few days of the church year and get on to good things. Christmas, Advent, Christmas, you know, all the fun stuff. But listen carefully, because the next three verses are what we're going to end with, and I want to encourage you, because this is what it is, the answer to the silence. He says, be silent before the Lord God. Be silent. Recognize the day is near. Recognize it's hastening fast. And this is how we should respond. Gather together. Aren't we doing that today? Yes, gather, O shameless nation. That's us. We're shameless because we know that God has chosen us. We are a covenant people. God the Father has given us our identity, and out of that identity flows our obedience. We are a kingdom people. God, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, has given us his authority and therefore his power. Before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you the burning anger of the Lord, before there comes upon you the day of the anger of the Lord, seek the Lord. Now I've told you this before. Whenever something comes in three, like God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, whenever something comes in threes, what do we know? It's extremely important. And what does he do? He says, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? So what is our call? What is our purpose? Why do we gather? Why are we here? So we can be silent in the presence of the Lord, our God, the King of the universe, so that we can hear what he has to say to us, And what are we called as covenant people, as people who are identified as children of God, as kingdom people who have the authority of the king, who are heirs of eternal life, who are that holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God? Are we not called then to seek the Lord, to seek righteousness, and to seek humility? Because if we do those three things, what? Seek righteousness, seek the Lord, and seek humility, we will be rejoicing on the day, the great day of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? We will be rejoicing on the great day of the Lord. Not that there are people who are still left who are complacent, but we will be rejoicing because our place is secure with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Announcements.